Our Heavenly Father desires our spiritual strengthening. He knows that of ourselves we are dust, and He also knows that of ourselves, although renewed by the grace of the Holy Spirit, our faith yet remains weak. We are frail. We have little strength, and soon we become faint-hearted spiritually. And so God has given to us different means for spiritual strengthening. For instance, He has given to believers in the Church of Jesus Christ the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is a sacrament given by Christ to His Church for the sole purpose of the strengthening of the spiritual life of His disciples. But He has also given to us prayer. Prayer is a means for spiritual strengthening. It is a means that God has given to us whereby He promises to give us His grace and His Spirit in the way of sincerely asking Him for these things, for His grace and for His Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 3, we have a very beautiful prayer of the Apostle Paul, a prayer in which the Apostle is praying for the spiritual strengthening of the church at Ephesus and for our spiritual strengthening. Ephesians chapter 3 may be called one of the great passages in the Bible. Open your Bible to it, please, and we'll be looking at verses 16 through 19. As God has given in the, as you're turning and as you're opening up your own Bible, let me say that as God has given in the creation spectacular mountain ranges like the Rockies and the Himalayas, so in His Word He has given grand passages, passages affording us vistas of tremendous spiritual truth, which so fill our souls and cast us into wonder and praise. Paul is praying, as you notice in verse 14. He says, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says that he will pray for great spiritual blessings to descend upon us. As you scan the verses that are ahead, he's going to pray that Christ abide in our hearts by faith, that we be rooted and grounded in love, that we be given an enlargement of spiritual understanding, and that we be filled with the fullness of God. Now that's quite a list. You compare that with so many prayers that are given in the church today, and you see the spiritual poverty of the church. So many prayers, also by the leaders of the church, go by the words, well, Lord, I just wanna, and give us a good day, and Paul's prayer is deep. Paul's prayer is spiritual. It's arising out of the inner life of the life of Christ in his heart, and he is praying that that life of Christ flourish in his experience, in his heart. And the central thing that he prays for is for spiritual strength. I bow my knees unto the Father, we read, that, as we continue to read in verse 16, that he would grant you to be strengthened with might in the inner man. Spiritual strengthening is the main thing that he is praying for, not physical strengthening, not emotional strengthening, not strengthening of muscle or bone, but a strengthening of the heart, of the inner man by the Spirit of God. What is that inner man? We have that in verse 16. I bow my knees that God would grant, according to the riches of his glory, that you be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. The inner man is the new life of Christ. That's the way whereby the Bible refers to that life that Christ works in our hearts by spiritual rebirth, or what is called regeneration, to be born again. Regeneration is not something that the sinner wills for himself. It is something that God plants in the heart solely of his own favor and grace according to his plan of divine election. The word inner man distinguishes that life of Christ in regeneration from the outward man. The outward man in Scripture refers to the life that everyone has, the earthly life. For instance, we read in 2 Corinthians 4:16, "But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Unbelievers do not have an inner man. They have only that which is corrupt and defiled in sin. A child of God, because of the grace of God, has an inner man. That's the life of Christ planted in the new heart, and that's the life that cannot perish. And that inner life is strengthened by the Holy Spirit. He feeds that inward man. He protects it from disease. He nourishes it by the Word. Now the prayer is, may God grant that the inner man be strengthened with might by the Holy Spirit. The apostle then is not praying here for conversion. No, he supposes that the Holy Spirit has entered into our hearts. But he is praying that that life be strengthened, that the life that Christ has given be strengthened. We are created as babes in Christ Jesus. And as we live out of that life, we are subject to the assaults of our sin. And so therefore, that life must be strengthened. Now we learn more what that means in verse 17. We read that Christ may dwell or abide in your heart by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. So that you and I, when we are strengthened in the inner man, that means that Christ abides in our hearts by faith. Spiritual strengthening by the power of the Holy Spirit is not some electricity that flows through fingernails and hits you on the forehead and heals cripples. It's not some force to cause your voice or lips to utter strange sounds. That's not spiritual strengthening. That's a bunch of shenanigans. That has nothing to do with the Scriptures. That is not biblical. But spiritual strengthening has to do with faith in Christ. Christ has been given to dwell within us, to live in our hearts by faith. Spiritual strengthening is when the abiding Christ in our hearts grows, exerts more and more into every impulse of our thinking, of our willing, and of our doing. That's spiritual strengthening. The indwelling Christ is the source of our spiritual life. Christ has been placed in us by the Holy Spirit. And the apostle is praying, may God grant, according to the riches of his glory, may he graciously give you to be strengthened spiritually. That is, may the Holy Spirit cause the life of Christ within you to expand. May Christ live in you by faith more and more. I pray that God continually strengthen you, that God do this, because he alone can do it. Now, is that your prayer? Prayer is the expression we know of our deepest felt need. Is this your deepest felt need? Lord, strengthen me within. Strengthen the life of Christ abiding within me. You and I don't need to be told of the desire for the strengthening of our body, the strengthening of our finances, and the strengthening of our business and our reputation. The outward life, we spend a lot of time trying to keep it in shape, and it all perishes. But the inward man, what about that? How's that inward man tonight, child of God? How does it beat in your heart today? Are you growing in Christ? That life of faith, that spiritual life, given by a wonder of God's love, is that life strong? Or is it anemic? Is it diseased? Is it flabby? Lord, is the prayer, grant spiritual strengthening. Through thy word and through prayer, may our faith grow. May our faith be made strong. And what will be the result of this? Well, let's read verses 17 and 18. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length, the depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. What will be the fruit? Well, very briefly, the fruit of spiritual strengthening will be that we will be able to comprehend more of the love of Christ. The result of spiritual strengthening will not be those flashy outward gimmicks so clamored for by many in the church today, the supposed speaking in tongues and the supposed healing and all the rest. But the result of spiritual strengthening will be a deepening understanding of faith in the love of Jesus Christ. Paul is praying, Lord, grant that the people of God be strengthened in their inner man, in that presence of Christ in their heart, so that they may be rooted and grounded in love and may be able to comprehend a little bit of that love of Christ. What is the fruit of spiritual strengthening? Is it the oohs and the ahs of others when they see what kind of a person you are? Oh, no. No. What is the result of spiritual strengthening? Is the result of faith in your life that now you are successful and your income rises and you are able to afford one of these large 300,000, 400,000 homes with 7 bedrooms and 4 bathrooms, but everybody's so busy that they're never there and there's no family to live there and they don't want to live together. Is that the result of faith? No. No, it's not. The result of the strengthening of your faith is that the child of God begins to grasp, begins to understand a little something of spiritual things, of the love of Christ. How about that? Is that what you want? The apostle says that those are the things that are too great for natural power of mind to measure. No human power of mind can measure the love of Christ. The apostle, so to speak, says you can't put a measuring tape on it. You can't place a side rule alongside of it. You can't tell me the length, the depth, the height, or the breadth of the love of Christ. You can't, so to speak, measure it out a little bit and type in the data and come up with an estimate and say, well, it's about like this. You can't do that. No, you have to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit within your heart, by the Word and by prayer and by sacraments and by the church and by preaching. You need to be daily strengthened in your heart so that you begin to comprehend a little bit with all of the saints, what is the breadth and height and length and depth and width of the love of Christ? You see, the emphasis here is upon the bigness of this love of Christ. It's so big that you need to be strengthened even to form an estimate of it. Paul does not pray that we be strengthened in spiritual life so that we can have big thoughts about ourselves and big crowds of people oohing and on over us, but so that we can have some kind of capacity to understand the love of Christ for us. We need to be expanded in spiritual power. We need to develop spiritual strength and energy so that we may be able to form some estimate of the measureless love of Christ for us. And this is for you. It's not just for theologians. It's not just for old people in a rocking chair. It's not just for ministers and elders in the church. But the apostle prays, but all the saints. That's what he says. All the saints. Children, that's you. Young people, that's you. You. That you may be able to comprehend the love of Christ. God strengthen you in your inward man so that you begin to get an understanding of the love of Christ for us. The love which the apostle says passes knowledge. You need to have your mind stretched. He loved us eternally, wholly, undeservedly. Sacrificially, he gave his body to be broken, his blood to be shed. Now we can say all of those things, but can we comprehend those things? God gave his eternal darling to die the awful death of the cross, which was ours. I can't find words to catch that, to so to speak measure it. There are no human words to get that in a box, to define it so that I can say I got it. It's too high. I can't attain to it. Do you wonder why Paul would pray that we need to be strengthened within so that we may be able to apprehend, to comprehend the love of Christ? You can't comprehend it. The world can't understand it. And we can't understand it unless Christ be in us. So here's the gist of the prayer. Lord, strengthen me so that I might be able to apprehend this great mystery with all the saints, the love of Christ. And don't forget, you can't do that without being rooted and grounded in love. That's what he prayed, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. There's a step there, you see. Lord, give us spiritual strength to know the love of Christ. But right in between those two, between spiritual strength and knowing the love of Christ, is an enlargement of our hearts in love. We must be rooted and grounded in love, love for God and love for each other, if we are to know something of the bigness of the love of Christ for us. That's how the Holy Spirit expands our heart, love for God and love for each other. It's the love of God which is the great enlargener. I remember as a boy when I was going to get new shoes, and I had a short, wide foot. And I remember shoe stores at that time used to have these wooden things that you would stick into a shoe, and they'd turn the screw, and it would, leather shoes, not plastic ones as today, but then the shoe would be expanded so that your foot could fit. Now that's an example, I think, of what the apostle means to say. It's the love of God in the heart which stretches the heart and the mind so that we might be able to know the love of Christ. He who is not filled with the love of God in his heart for God and for his brothers and sisters, who does not have the love of Christ, is necessarily small, withered, and shriveled in heart, and has a very shriveled outlook on life, filled with envy and jealousy, filled with evil reports about other people. That happens. That happens in the church, and that happens in marriage. Then your life becomes shriveled because your heart is shriveled. Hatred, envy, jealousy shrivels the heart of the child of God. That's why the apostle says, Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, cast it away. Those are the things that will close off the heart and make your heart into a shriveled prune. But he who is filled with the love of God, by the grace of God, of course, filled with the love of God and love for his brother and his sister, so that you will lay down your life and you say good things about them and you love them and you show that. That person is expanded in their thoughts and begins to comprehend more and more of the love of Christ for me. That's the source of everything. That's what it all comes back to. It all comes back to this, and don't you ever forget it. It all comes back to the undeserved love of Jesus for me. You understand that? And then the apostle goes on, if you have your Bible open yet, verse 19. And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. So the apostle's prayer is, Lord, grant that we might be strengthened by the Holy Spirit, so that we may be able to comprehend the love of Christ. But then he doesn't stop. He adds one more thing. To the end, now here's the end of it all, this is the goal, that you may be filled with the whole fullness of God. There's the goal at last. Prayer now has reached its goal. And what a goal it is. We who are weak and need to be strengthened by the Spirit within, we who need to be strengthened so that we might know the deep things of the love of Christ for us. Why? Well, you see, the reason is not merely for the sake of knowing it. The reason is not simply that we might be strong in faith. No. There's a greater reason, that we may be filled with the fullness of God. God is the end and the goal of all of his works. It's all for the purpose that we might be brought to understand the fellowship of the living God, that God's grace and glory fill us, and we be drawn into intimate fellowship with the living God in order that we might show forth his praises. That's the soaring height of this prayer. At the beginning I said that some passages of the Bible may be compared to the Himalayas and to the Rockies. Now you're standing by faith at the summit, to the great heights, to the summit peak of faith. There's nothing higher than this, than that your heart, by grace alone, desire to be filled with the fullness of God, to know Him in Jesus Christ, His Son, to be pure as He is pure, to glorify Him in your words and thoughts, that you no more live as a man or a woman of the world, living for that which is dust and cannot satisfy you, that you be no more the servant of evil and of vile things, that you no more give your soul, your mind, your will, your thoughts unto vanity, unto lust, unto pornography, unto envy, unto jealousy, or whatever it is, but that by the grace of God you be strengthened in the inner man, so that you might be filled with the fullness of God, that you might know His grace and His mercy, and with those things within you, you might live unto Him. That's prayer. You pray like that? Is that your prayer uttered to God today? Strengthen me, Lord, by faith. Strengthen my heart within, stretch my heart to know the love of Christ in order that the goal might be in me, that I might know Thee, and knowing Thee, glorify Thee. Let us pray. Father, write the word on our hearts. Amen.